When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feed to the right side to Foley with a shot, save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
What's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kinville, and we have got one heck of a show lined up for you tonight. As you can see scrolling across the bottom of your screen, we have a new feature. You don't have to listen to me tell us all about your social media feeds anymore because we got them scrolling right across the bottom. And there you go. That's I love surprises like that. Oh, boy. And especially you're going to want to check out that YouTube channel because we have got a really cool video made by the absent Russell Morgan tonight. Again, he's doing King of Analytical things, so we'll forgive him for that. So
no, he's headed to the rookie face-off.
Well, yeah, he's going to be doing analytical things there. So, and we're all jealous of him. That's Okay, so before I bring in our guests, I'm going to bring in our panel for tonight. As always, riding shotgun with me is the editor-in-chief, if you will, of HockeyRoyalty.com. He is our Shakespeare. He is everything with the pen and the typewriter. No, actually, I'm the typewriter. Mr. Ryan Sykes, what's going on, Ryan?
Hey, Scott. I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to this podcast. How are you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm doing fantastic. I'm pumped up for this one. This is going to be really cool. Absolutely. And taking Russell's place tonight while he's in Arizona doing analytical things is we got a new nickname for him because he's now teaching a college course. Not only is he a renowned author, he's teaching a college course now, guys, on journalism from his alma mater. It is Ryan, the Professor Cowley. And there's his book right there. How you doing, pal?
Scott, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. And for the record, my ego is very centered, so I am not jealous of Russell. And I will keep telling myself that.
Well, how can you be when you're a professor?
Right? Well, exactly, right?
Oh, boy. All right, so I'm going to bring our guest in. Our guest knows Kings prospect Brock Faber very well. Brock Faber plays at the University of Minnesota. And tonight we got his assistant coach there with the Minnesota Golden Gophers men's ice hockey team. It is Coach Garrett Reboing. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. Absolutely. Thank you. So how's things going out there in Minnesota? You guys getting ready for your season?
Yeah, we are. We like I was talking to you guys before we started recording here, we've had two practices. We're one of the last teams in the country to start. But it is a long season. We're just happy to get things going. It was such a crazy year last year. We were able to get a season, in, and we felt like, we had a little momentum at the end of the year there. Ended too early, but again, a lot of returners. We have some exciting freshmen, and we just feel really good about our group.
Nice.
Excellent. And we especially feel great about a Kings prospect you got there. So,
yeah, and you know what? And I am. I'm happy to talk about Brock. I've crazy as it sounds, I've coached, it seems like, mostly Kings players and prospects from my days at St. Cloud State. Blake Lazotte, part of recruiting him out of Minot and then watching him go to Fargo and then Nick Dowd and Kevin Gravel, so on and so forth. So a lot of Kings I've been fortunate enough to coach, and Brock's the latest one, and they certainly have a good one there.
So yeah, no doubt.
Garrett, I just want to get a little bit of information about your background. Obviously, you're an assistant coach for Minnesota right now, so kind of let the listeners know, how you got started to where you are now.
Well, I played at St. Cloud State. I went through Minnesota High School and on to the USHL for 3 years. Was lucky enough to play 4 years at St. Cloud State and was part of the leadership group. Wore a letter there for a couple of years, and I went over to Europe. And 2 years over there, my wife and I had our son in the summer, go between my second and third season. And I knew I kind of wanted to get into coaching, wanted to be close to family. Coach Motzko gave me a chance kind of late in the summer. And I really hopped on a moving train that year, to be quite honest. And, didn't recruit a player on that team, just stood on the bench and was a cheerleader. We went to the Frozen Four. Nice. And then I had a good long run there at St. Cloud State. Coach Motzko takes the job here at the University of Minnesota. And I knew that was the next step of my career. So now we're going into year four here. And it's been not a long ride, but it's been a really fun one so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And our condolences, by the way, that's awful.
I appreciate it, you guys. And our hearts go out to Coach Motzko and his family.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the hockey community has been incredible, and just how they rallied and it puts everything in perspective, boy, at how much
it does.
This is than a sport, pretty humbling to be quite honest.
Oh, it is. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, no doubt. Question. But did you have any conversations with Team USA head coach Nate Lehman about Brock from his time at the World Juniors? And if so, what kind of feedback did he provide?
Coach Motzko coached the World Juniors. So he won a gold medal. He won a bronze medal. And then he's really close with Coach Lehman. I talked to Steve Miller an awful lot, one of the assistant coaches at Ohio State and helps run the D-Corp. Most recently with the World Junior team as they won gold. So we talked, Killer, as he's known, and myself talked quite a bit about Brock, but, you don't have to watch too much on the player to know what he is. And he was a big value for them, he's one heck of a defender, but he walked away with 5 points in 7 games and played a crucial role in helping those guys win the gold.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know what's so impressive about him? Just his poise.
Yeah.
He's such a poised player. He really is. There's no doubt about it.
You're going to see him again this year. Like, yeah. We got to remember, he's a young man, okay? Well, he's a young man, and he's confident, and he welcomes the challenge. And that's one of the greatest things about him. As he didn't come in as a lamb as a freshman, but, he was respectful. And by the end of the year, that's what you saw was his personality started to come out. He was able to welcome the challenge. And he was a guy that wanted to be on the ice versus every team's top lines. And the championship game of the Big Ten playoffs, we were playing Wisconsin, and there was no chance that Cole Caulfield was going to be on the ice, and he wasn't going to be out there.
Right. Yeah.
Whether I wanted him out there or not, he was going to be out there.
Sorry, Coach. I'm going over the board.
He's just one of those guys. And you know what?
The Drew Doughty mentality. You're not taking away my minutes.
No.
So, Garrett, I just want to back up. Brock was initially committed to Notre Dame. He's from Maple Grove, Minnesota. What was the reaction from yourself and the coaching staff when he decided to come back home?
Oh, well, we're pretty happy. I mean, yeah. I don't know if we were doing the high fives, but there was a one happy staff. And you know what? You see that nowadays. He's a Gopher fan growing up, commits at a young age.
Yeah.
He goes away to the National Team Development Program, and as time goes on, he realizes he wants to be closer to home. So, and we're certainly reaping the benefits of that decision. And I think he's having the time of his life. You know, he's where he wants to be, and he's all in right here.
Oh, no doubt about it.
His freshman season at Minnesota, he scores one goal and has 11 assists. You know, where did you see his game grow the most from day one that he stepped foot on campus to the final horn of the season?
I mean, I think I maybe touched on it earlier. You just saw him demand more ice, and he, you know, he's a confident kid, but you started to see that in his play. And, you know, I think the 12 points he had with us, he had 47 games at the program his final year, and he had 12 points. Now he comes to us, he plays about half that, and he has 12 points. And he's so, I mean, as you guys will see in time, he's so much more than points. I mean, his value, he plays heavy minutes. He plays against top teams for, you know, first lines. He plays penalty kill. We haven't really used him on a power play. And, you know, I think just his game was just emphasized that much more as the season went on, and we sure used him an awful lot in most situations.
He took kind of a nasty fall in the Big Ten semifinals against Michigan State to the end boards. Just kind of want to look for your comments on initially when the play happened, and then I think most people expected him to miss the Big Ten championship, but he skated up. You know, what does that kind of say about just his toughness?
Well, he wants to play there and be there for his teammates is what it says. You know, first and foremost, I think that's what was on his mind when he went down. It was awkward, and you kind of just held your breath, and, you know, he's getting evaluated. He doesn't finish that game, and you know, you're kind of just letting him be with the training staff and you know, letting them handle him, because it's a quick turnaround. So we really didn't see him a ton. Mm-hmm. And the morning after it happened, we found that there's a possibility he could play. So, you know, a little story is he calls me. I know he's going to play, but not to what extent. And he calls me and he's like, "Hey, I'm playing." And I was like, "Yeah, I know you are, Faves." And he's like, "No, you don't understand. Like, you're going to play me, you know, tonight." And I said, "I know I'm going to play you. We'll figure out how much that is." He's like, "I'm not just going to sit on the bench. I want a regular shift." And I'm like, "Wow." Said, "Listen, buddy," I said, "if your jersey's in front of me," I said, "you're going on the ice. We've been doing this long enough already. You know, I'm going to play. I can't help myself." Yeah. So, but he just wants, he's a gamer. He wants to be out there with his teammates. And, you know what? He's one of the guys, man. He's a big part of our group.
Do you expect, I guess, from his freshman season to his sophomore season, do you kind of see him tapping into more of an offensive potential this coming season?
Yeah, that's one of those things we're going to work on as we grow his game. And you know, he's coming back to the college to develop as a player, and that's one of those things we're going to touch on. And, you know, it's nothing crazy right now with him. It's just little tweaks. Like, if you guys could have seen him as a Bantam player, he was Bantam player of the year in our state, okay? And he was run and gun. He was all offense. And then he went to the national team, and he really put an emphasis on rounding out his game defensively. And now there's that happy medium. And he's, I think he, He values defending so much. He's committed to it. And he doesn't sacrifice defense for offense, you know, and that's why you see it. I mean, he's such a dependable and reliable defender, but I think, you know, we can continue to grow his game. He's going to identify when he has opportunities to join the rush, you know, when, you know, he's in the offensive zone, where can he go to become available for a pass? And when he gets that pass, what's the next play? Is it just get it to the pads? Or do you have enough time to maybe take what the goalie's giving you? So all those things, you know, could possibly lead to him getting more offense, but I'll say it, like, he's such a valuable player as he is right now.
Yeah.
But hey, we're going to keep trying to grow that layer of his game.
And, you know, that's why it's so great. I'm sorry, Ryan. I just wanted to say real quick that's why it's so great when players, for me personally, my standpoint, that they decide to stay, you know, at college and get that development time in, because, you know, truthfully, the NCAA, of course, has grown leaps and bounds, you know, over the past few decades, really.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And, Coach, like you and I were talking earlier, I mean, I live in upstate New York, so especially with the Big Ten, because, I mean, I grew up around the Hockey East, ECAC. The Big Ten has just become this phenomenal hockey conference. There's just no getting around it. And I'll tell you guys got, like, the best competition in the NCAA there now. And for him to stay and be around your coaching staff and you and everything that goes with it is only going to be good for Brock, really.
Well, and you know, everyone is starting to see how it translates. College hockey to the National Hockey League, like, the stats are coming out. It's as good as it's ever been. And it's not only for the prospects, not only for draft picks, but for free agents. You guys have Blake Lizotte right now. Alex Iafallo, those are darn good players in the National Hockey League, went undrafted. But hey, it is. The Big Ten's in a great place. We certainly are excited to have Brock back and for the right reasons. And you know what? You have to realize, too, like, one of the big things is that summer of development. Now, these guys, they were shorted that a summer ago. Now, they had a chance to train on campus with Cal Dietz, who's just outstanding here at the University of Minnesota. And we're starting to get some of the data back as we do our testing. And, you know, Brock's had that summer that he needed to have. You know, he's such an athlete, and, you know, 32.5-inch vertical. He probably one of the fastest players out of the blocks starting on the ice, but he's also the fastest player on our team on just in the street shoes, you know, on solid ground. So, I mean, he's a heck of an athlete. He's explosive. And you see in his game, like, that, how he closes, on people and takes away time and space is what really makes them special.
So that's very interesting, actually. So for the off season, then, just for our listeners who don't know, so you guys concentrate on the physical aspects and not so much on ice, you know, mechanics.
Yeah, no, we're not allowed to work with them on the ice in the summer, as NCAA rules state. So they're out of our hands, and it's up to them. But they can train on campus in the weight room and in the facilities, and you know, our weight training staff is tremendous. Cal Dietz leads it all, and there's he has a whole staff full of interns that really dedicate their summer to helping these athletes take the next step, and Brock's a beneficiary of them.
Right.
Excellent. Yeah.
What's Brock squatting these days?
Hey, good question.
The days of the old back squat, I think, might be over. So yeah. They have
the dumbbells.
Cal, he's a mad scientist. I don't even start to try to figure out what they're doing up there.
You know, I hate kind of putting the pressure on yourself and the player, but is there a player that Brock reminds you of, you know, a previous player or an NHL player?
You know, that's a tough one. He's unique, and he's kind of a combination of so many guys. Like, he, you know, he's kind of a little bit like Ryan Suter. I know that's way up here. And he's only a sophomore in college, but I think, how well he skates, how efficient he is, he can play for days. He can help on the offense. And you know, like I talked about, his ability to close and defend and just shut plays down is one of the first things you notice. But then I think going back to his draft year, when his stock really started to rise, was when the analytics started to talk about how he connects the dots coming out of his own zone. Like, he's just so efficient on moving the puck from his stick to one of his teammates' stick and getting it up the rink. Like, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes on the breakout. He's able to sort the play coming up the rink. And nowadays, hey, you have to play with the puck nowadays. For him to be able to play with the puck and defend at a high level, I think, it's why we're talking about him right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
So is that one of the things that you think maybe has changed about the game, maybe more in the past 5 to 10 years, just how much you have to play with the puck as opposed to maybe teaching the dump and chase, so to speak, or something like that?
Well, it's the game is so fast. And, right. You know, the way the rules change, it's an extremely entertaining game to watch. But I think the type of player, you know, you just don't have, you know, four heavy defender type defensemen, you know, and with two skill guys that play on the power play. Now now they all have to be able to skate and break pucks out and join in the offense. It's the positions of forward and defense are not so like rigid. It's kind of a five-man unit out on the ice at any time in today's game, and it's fun to watch. And you know, you have to have the ability to skate and play with the puck, as you're saying.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. It's almost like a video game now.
More times too much, it gets a little scary on the bench.
So, Garrett, we've talked about all of the positive things that Brock has going for him. You know, gap control, speed. He's starting to tap into that offensive potential. He back squats 1,000 pounds, one-legged. you know, which areas or where do you see that he needs to kind of improve the most coming into his sophomore year?
I think we're growing the player. We're just the complete player. There's no one major facet of his game that needs to be, turned around. Like I said, we're just tweaking here and there. Maybe identifying when to join like I talked about, some things in the offensive zone that can maybe help him. He's continued to grow those strengths of his game as well. We're not just going to look at some things that could, you know, call them weaknesses, if you may. But you have to continue to grow your strengths. And that's his building blocks, his bread and butter, is that skating base and ability to close gap and strike. He's, you know, and we have a good group around him. Like he's a big part of our team, and we have a lot of depth, we feel, in all three positions, but particularly in our back end. And he's going to play with some good players. There's the high profile guys, the World Junior guys in the drafts, but we have some undrafted guys that play a real strong game, and they're a close knit group, and they're fun to work with. Boy,
yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You guys look very strong last year, and I'm sure you'll be this year too.
Yeah. And just a couple more questions for you, Garrett. We can let you go. But, you know, I know that you guys just skated as a team for the first time on Monday. So you're three practices in or whatever it might be. The Big Ten is obviously looking pretty stacked with Michigan over there in Ann Arbor and Wisconsin. There any inkling from Brock on players he's anxious to defend this year?
I know what his answer would be. But the league's going to be strong. Everyone feels good about their team this time of year, you know. And it's just one day at a time right now. And same with Brock. Like we just have to continue to. We're just getting back into it right now, so it's baby steps for now, and we're gonna, when the games start up, there's gonna be two teams trying to win. So
Absolutely.
Our first challenge is Alaska Fairbanks on October 2nd, and we're just looking forward to that date.
Cool. Now, are you going to Alaska, or are they coming to you?
No, they're coming to us. So.
I was going to say, and adjust to a big time change, that's for sure.
So. Yeah, right.
It's a good trip, though. I mean, we in the old WCHA, we used to go up to Anchorage all the time.
Right.
And we really look forward to that Alaska trip. Nice. Just a little change of scenery.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Coach, we just want to thank you for coming on and spending some time with us and sharing some insight.
Scott, I got one more question for Garrett. Oh, you know, sure. Just to close here, Garrett, I just first want to thank you for joining us tonight. But, you know, what advice would you give to Brock as he kind of prepares to enter the professional ranks?
Well, hey, I never played there. I've never played there. But he just has to be himself. It's what he's done at every step of the way. You know, he's had success. I think what's gotten him there, though, is just his competitiveness, his willingness to work, and he is one tremendous human being. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes a long way. Like, the value, take hockey away from it. What he means to our room, what he means to those players around him, I think that's what makes him the most special. He's a family man. He's a team guy. And that's what's going to take him the furthest. You know, when hockey's over, that's what's going to keep him going in this world. And he's got an exciting future, and we're all going to have fun watching him.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I'll tell you, we just can't wait to be able to see him on TV when possible this year. And like I said, we know you guys are going to have a great season. So we just want to wish you the best of luck for this season. And again, thank you for coming on and taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, you guys.
Yeah.
And again, please give our condolences to Bob, please.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much, Coach.
All right, Garrett. Have a great evening.
All right. Take care. Goodbye. That was Coach Garrett Reboing from the Minnesota Golden Gophers men's ice hockey team. Assistant coach, sorry.
Yep.
That was interesting. That really was, because, you know, I always wondered about that. On the college ranks, what they do in the off season.
Yeah, that was a good question, Scott. That was a very good question.
You know, that's a very, very I never realized that by NCAA rules that they can't be on the ice.
I didn't either.
No.
I did not know that. So it truly is like a spring training camp when they come back. So
yeah, for sure.
So, guys, not too much going on in the world of the Kings, but we do have the rookie tournament coming up. We've mentioned that before, because our intrepid reporter, analytics king, Russ Morgan, is going to be going there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he heads there tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he had better get us some good pictures. And
He better.
He's going to be in hockey royalty trouble, I'll tell you.
Yes. There's a lot of pressure on him.
So what do you guys think? All the Kings rookies are going, and that looks like it's going to be a really fun tournament. And I think we can stream that, right?
Yeah. Each team's site is streaming it. So obviously go to the Kings website and there's probably a link there that you can watch all the games.
Oh, okay. Because I originally thought it was going to be just on the Arizona Coyotes site, but that's good. I'd like to watch them on our home sites.
Yeah,
I don't want to see all that Coyotes stuff around it.
Yeah. I'm not sure there'd be a broadcast team to it, but yeah.
We can just pretend. That's
Coyote stuff.
Anyone in the Coyotes organization watches this, we mean no disrespect.
Yeah, you hit full screen and it goes away.
Exactly.
So let me ask you guys, is there a certain player or players, plural, that you guys are anxious to monitor or keep tabs on?
That's a good question.
You mean besides the obvious? Of course, you're going to want to watch Byfield, you know, naturally, and especially to see how his foot's coming along. I'm very curious to see what Turcotte's going to bring.
That's my answer. My answer is Turcotte. He got cut short with the development camp.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to add my agreement there, because don't get me wrong. Like I'm excited for Byfield and Kaliev. No, mainly because they already had a chance to play in LA already. I mean, granted, Kaliev was only one game.
Right.
But he did score.
Yeah, yes, he did. I think that was like his only shot on goal.
Too. I know. Right?
Yeah.
It's like
he's got to be going, I'm one for one. One shot, one goal, and they sent me back to Ontario. What's going on?
It's like he's batting 1,000. I was going to say Ted Williams is rolling in his grave, but he's Probably preserved, so he's doing something else.
Oh, the historical reference. Even if it was the Boston Red Sox, yeah. You're okay, Ryan.
That's okay, right. I went way off track. No, I just wanted to, like kind of touch on Ryan said, because, you know, especially because, like Turcotte's had his setbacks with the injuries the last couple of years, right? So, yeah. Right.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and I think there's going to be a couple players coming into not only this, but going into, you know, training camp. They're probably going to be playing perhaps with, I want to say, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I think Turcotte's going to be one of them.
Yeah.
I think Rasmus Kupari is going to be another one.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he's got to push now. I mean, this is his time, right? So, I mean, I know we kind of keep saying the same things over and over again, but it's true. You know,
well, they're starting to get closer to making their debut and,
right.
You know, they're starting to jockey for a position on who's going to funnel through to the NHL. And another player, I guess I left out and I'm curious to keep tabs on is Brant Clark.
Sure.
Yes. Right.
Sure.
I want to see how he does against the other team's rookies.
I'm especially excited for Francisco Pinelli too, but especially
Clark, because
the circumstances in the last year, a lot of kids drafted this past year, you know, unlike kids in the past, actually had a chance to go over and you know what I mean, play professionally. So
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting to see what happens with Clark after his season in junior this year when he's done with Barry. You know, depending obviously on how far they go playoff wise or anything like that, or if he ends up getting traded, because that's happened in the OHL as well. Mm-hmm.
That is true.
If it is an early exit, say out of the playoffs or whatever, you know, does he end up in Ontario?
If they have that stipulation,
if that stipulation's gone, that's a big F too. But
I don't know, because he'd have to play 20 games. I don't know if they count the European leagues.
Yeah,
I don't think we ever got final clarification on that. But something I am curious though is, do you guys think he'll get a cup of coffee with the Kings, you know, at the beginning or the tail end of the season?
I would say closer to the tail end.
Yeah.
And I think really, because right now the Kings defense core is settled, but it's not.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you got the seven who you know are going to be there, pretty much, right? Now it's all jockeying. Who's going to be where? And personally to me, and of course I'm not, you know, Rob Blake or Coach McClellan or anything like that, far from it. No. But I would say that let Clark go back to his junior team. Let him get playing time in.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to have him sticking around for a cup of coffee, but you're not going to play him, you know what I mean? Sort of like what happened with Bjorn for a couple of years, right?
Games.
Yeah, but he was up there for like 12. So,
yeah,
that makes, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Let him go back to Barry, get playing time in, and then we will reevaluate once the season's over, or towards the end of the season, I should say. Now, if the Kings are contending and they're in the middle of a playoff fight, you may not see them anyway. Because, especially if they got something that's working on D, why fix what's not broke? Even if you do want to see your exciting rookie, there's always next year for that.
Just a message to our listeners, you know, if anyone's willing to share their OHL All Access season pass with us, you might be getting a very underwhelming prize or something that we can hand out.
We're all about bartering here.
Oh, guys, coming my man in task this coming season. For the platform, I will be covering the OHL's Mississauga Steelheads.
There you go.
So I thought now is a good time as any. It's like, I believe Barry will be in town 2-3 times this season at least.
Okay.
So much like Russ.
Don't you worry, I will.
All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap this one up. Like I said, it's going to be really fun to watch the rookie tournament. September 17th, I think that starts through the 20th, correct?
17th, yes.
You got it.
All right, perfect. And we'll of course, have our intrepid reporter, Russell Morgan, out there covering it for us, too. So,
can't wait.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to thank assistant coach Garrett Reboing for coming on. And we also want to thank Ryan Sykes and Ryan Cowley for joining me. I'm Scott Kinville. Thanks for listening tonight. And we will see you next time on the Hockey Royalty Podcast. Go Kings, go.
See you guys. Have a good night.